Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, May 13th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, always, on page 37, in More About Alcoholism, a third paragraph, begins with, "In some circumstances, we have gone out," through one paragraph ending, "the terrific consequences might be." Comments are on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Wendy M., the 12 traditions, Joanne L. The readers of the text are Leslie M., Julie E.B., and Stephen G. A share ID for Tuesday, May 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,451. That's 23,451.
Can't hear you, Mo.
We can't hear you, Mo.
Mo, we can't hear you.
Good morning, everyone. Why don't we go ahead and do our 12 steps? Wendy, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, okay, sure. 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons, all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Wendy. I believe it's Joanne. Do you have the 12 steps or 12 traditions?
I sure do.
Fantastic.
Okay. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered. And welcome to everybody, especially the newcomers. Thank you for your stepping in, Melanie. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. Yeah, I don't know what happened. My phone just completely hung up on me, and I'm yelling at it for people to unmute. Thank you. All right, I'll continue. Thank you, Kara, for stepping in there. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 37 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. The third paragraph down begins with, in some circumstances, we have gone out, through one paragraph ending, the terrific consequences might be. And I will now ask Leslie M. to begin reading and comment for us. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Page 37. In some circumstances, we've gone out deliberately to get drunk, feeling ourselves justified by nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, or the like. But even in this type of beginning, we are obliged to admit that our justification for a spree was insanely insufficient in the light of what always happened. We now see that when we began to drink deliberately instead of casually, there was little serious or effective thought during the period of premeditation of what the terrific consequences might be. You know, what I really totally get out of this paragraph, and I've done this many times, you know, eaten at other people, eaten because I had a feeling, eaten because I had a good day, I had a bad day, you know. But the point that this makes is that it says, you know, we now see that when we began to drink deliberately instead of casually, is little serious or effective thought during the period of premeditation. And really what I got to, and I've been around a long time this year, I've been in OA for 36 years, and I was in OA 28 years before I finally got recovered. So I was doing it my way for a very, very long time. And, you know, and my way meant that I ate, bottom line, you know. And a lot of people say, oh, I'm sorry it took you so long. And, you know, I know that's exactly the path that I had to take. But I have to say that, you know, at another point in the book, it says, you know, sometimes I didn't think at all. And that's really to the point that I got to, whether I was planning it or it just happened. I wasn't thinking about the consequences at all. I wasn't thinking about anything at all. The only thing I was thinking about was that at some point my body, it felt like every cell in my body was screaming for the food and I couldn't get past it. I just couldn't get around it. I had to do it, you know. I felt that first sense of relief when I was home and I picked up my pocketbook, got my car keys, and was going out. That was like a little bit of an awe. Okay, we're gonna get what we need, you know. That, I guess, a junkie kind of attitude, you know. But there was no thought. I had no, you know, and that's, I think, because I had no power. You know, I couldn't put two thoughts together, you know, and I certainly couldn't think past what getting the food and eating the food was going to do to me, even that, you know. And so I know that for myself that I just have to, you know, today, you know, I can't think through the bite. You know, that's not a possibility for me. The only thing that I can do is continue to follow my food plan. I need the abstinence. But more than that, I need to have that connection with a higher power, because without that, you know, I'm back in the food. And I know that today. And so I'm grateful that it's not, and that I can have some saner thoughts today, you know. And even when an occasional food thought comes in, I know that, you know, it's not going anywhere, you know, that I don't need to do that today, that I have other things that I can do. And, you know, pausing and saying, okay, God, what's next, is right up there on the agenda. And with that, I pass. Thank you for your service, Mo.
Well, thank you very much, Leslie M. from New York, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 37?
Alex,
the
K.
third paragraph down.
Sorry.
Alex K.
Wendy.
Joan Marie M.
I heard a Wendy. Was that Wendy?
B.
Wendy B. Okay, I've got a couple Wendy's on here. Okay, Wendy B. And I heard, who did I hear? Joan Marie?
Yes,
Margaret O.
Marie. Right. Margaret O.
Dawn B.
Dawn B. I have Alex K., Wendy B., Joan Marie M., Margaret O., Dawn B. Anyone else
Diane.
In this group?
Diane B.
Got you, Diane. Okay, that's a good group. Everybody else mute except Alex K. Good morning, Alex from California. Good morning, Alex. Alex.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. I remember sometimes consciously choosing to binge to escape painful feelings that seemed intolerable. I would plan a binge, knowing I would feel miserable afterwards, but I didn't care. I thought it was worth it. The familiar, predictable pain of a binge was better than the emotional pain I didn't think I could bear. I felt I needed the numbing effect of the food to protect me. I didn't have any experience going through strong emotions, but I had lots of experience going through a binge and the consequences, so it was comfortable and comforting in a weird way. It provided a good distraction from whatever it was that I was trying to avoid. Sometimes I felt caught between a rock and a hard place, seeing my only choices as binging or feeling the emotional pain. I couldn't see any other way, and neither seemed like a good choice, but it was easier to do what I'd always done, to use food for ease and comfort, even if it only lasted for a little while, and the relief it provided lessened and lessened, and the effect I saw became more and more elusive. But I kept trying. For a long time, kept going to the food, because that was all I knew. And there were even times when I convinced myself that compulsive eating was self-care. It shows how distorted my thinking was. I'd tell myself I was giving myself a treat after a hard day, I deserved a treat, or I needed a break from life and problems, so it was okay to binge and give myself a respite. And these ideas at the time seemed normal, but now I can see the insanity. I know now that compulsive eating is never a good idea. I don't have that debate anymore. And it's the opposite of self-care. It's self-abuse. I don't want to do that to myself anymore. I'm really grateful I can live in reality now and see the truth. And I have the help of the program and my higher power, so I don't have to hurt myself with food today. I have a strong faith that whatever happens, whatever life brings, no matter how painful or challenging, I can go through it with my spiritual team, you all and the steps and my higher power. We can go through anything together without compulsively eating. Such a comforting feeling. And what a miraculous turnaround. And my attitudes are different from how I lived before. It's a great example of the psychic change we're promised. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
And thank you very much. That's Alice Kay from California. Up next is Wendy B., followed by Joan Marie M. Tell us where you're calling from, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And this paragraph describes the progression from, emotional discomfort to justification, to loss of perspective and to destructive behavior. And my emotional discomfort is just very convincing in the moment, but compared to the consequences that follow, the justification becomes insanely insufficient. The 30 seconds of relief from the extra bite doesn't solve the issue, that caused the emotional discomfort. It just makes me numb and, cut off from awareness of God, who has the answers to the issues that I face, And, he's brought things to the surface to be dealt with appropriately, not to be eaten over. And, during the period of premeditation, when I'm thinking about turning to the food, my mind narrows and focuses almost entirely on immediate relief and instant gratification, and I lose contact with reality, with the truth, and all my good intentions go out the window. And so when I take a pause and pray and ask for insight into what's being triggered, and ask God's help to resist the temptation, and I deal with the real issue that's surfacing, and I need to just stop and ask myself, am I seeking comfort or control or escape, or am I seeking God? And I need to interrupt the cycle, of turning to excess food and turn to God instead. And I love this program that teaches us how to do that. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That's Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Margaret O. Good morning, Joan Marie from Nevada.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Okay, so reading this, I listened to the earlier meeting, and it just brought me back way back when. I wasn't even in program, but I remember a situation and getting in my car because whatever was going on, probably depression and selfishness and self-centered, they were running wild. And I got in my car and I was speeding down to the nearest whatever. And I didn't know I had a disease. I had no clue of what was going on. And before I finish anything else, I want to say, it's easier to get abstinent and stay abstinent than to try to come back. I don't want any more comebacks. I want to stay. And with God's grace, I will. And listening to all your shares, you just wonderful shares, and they bring me to the point where I am a compulsive overeater. Yes, I have neutrality around food again, but I have to keep on reminding myself I don't have neutrality around my alcoholic foods. And that's what got me in this time into a lot of trouble, deep, deep trouble. So thank you so much for your service, for everybody that's going to share and has share. All right. With that, I'll pass, Mo.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Up next is Margaret O., followed by Dawn B. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Mo. It's Margaret O. from Connecticut. I haven't shared on this meeting for a
quite a while. So I thought I would just pipe up. So, yeah, it's a great paragraph. Of course, the one before it is, you know, more of the same, some insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink, in our case, the first bite. You know, when we were reading this, I thought back to, like, you know, the early days of, like, being 3 and 4 years old. I remember I asked my older sister, who was, we had a very combative relationship. I'm the youngest of six, but she and I were very close in age, still are, obviously. But I asked, you know, to use her crayons, and she said no. And I remember getting so angry, and I didn't express it, but I just ate her box of crayons. I remember unwrapping them and eating them one by one. Stuff, all that wax in my teeth and everything. I mean, it's amazing when I look back. And, you know, that was just, I think, okay, so I was hurt, and also I was perceiving being powerless over a circumstance. And that is tends to be, you know, the trigger that I experience most. And I love the first share. Thank you to the person. They know who they are. The lead was great too, but the very first share said painful feelings that felt intolerable. And then, you know, they needed experience going through strong emotions. So I actually wrote those things down because, you know, I'm still powerless. And, you know, I've been reading a lot about AI lately and, you know, with a kind of a love-hate attitude. But, you know, one thing about AI that I can glean is it's detached. You know, it doesn't have any emotional reaction. And I can be detached by being attached to my HP. I mean, that's the anchor. That's the rock that I need to hang on to, you know, with the waves of emotions that come and go. And just one other thing I want to say is, you know, casual eating, like throwing back a handful of something while standing at the counter. You know, I used to excuse those in my mind and say, that's not a big deal. But I call those slips. You know, and I've been really rigorous about that, and that, which is why I haven't sponsored lately, but I'm going to put myself out as a sponsor today. You know, that happens when I'm just not willing to look at something or feel something. There's something going on under the surface. And the other thing is it's a rebellion against reality. You know, I'm resisting reality. You know, I have a disease. There is a solution, and I don't want to step away from that by throwing back a handful of something. It's like, let's just stay in the truth and stay with the solution, which is this program. So thanks to everybody doing service for this meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That is Margaret O. from Connecticut. Up next is Dawn B., followed by Diane B. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, Mo. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Great to be here today. Yes, nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, all of the like, feeling myself justified. I felt like back in the day when I was in the food that I could not make it through the day without my stash of food, that it would literally kill me to be able to face life and to do life as challenging as it was without that stash. I thought I would die. And the miracle of today, and I never, ever, ever thought that life could ever be anything other than that, it would never feel like I wasn't underwater, holding my breath, just having this horrible feeling like I can't wait to get to the top of the water so I can breathe again and have my alcoholic foods again and just relax. And, you know, make life doable. I never thought life could ever be anything other than that. But now the miracle of this program is that day after day, year after year, it is simply, abstinence is simply the most loving thing I can possibly do for myself. It is a peace. It is a relaxation. It is a beautiful, beautiful gift. And it's not on my abilities that this is on God's abilities. And another thing that used to help me back in the day is that if it is God's most loving will for me to not pick up, then I'm going to be receiving divine help to be able to do that. So I get to relax and just rely on God, because I'm no longer relying on my shaky abilities. If it's God's most loving will for me, then I get to relax and rely on God's abilities. So I'm no longer relying on my shaky, you know, sometimes I feel like I can do it. Sometimes I feel like there's nothing of that. It's like I am just putting myself in God's hands and saying, I can't, God. I am absolutely powerless over this. I cannot handle this. I need you to just take it, God. I can't, but you can. I can't, but you can, God. And just rely on God. And then God does for me what I can't do for myself. And now I can honestly say that, yes, it is hell in the beginning, but it's the shortest amount of hell. And if I stay the course and don't pick up, it gets easier and easier and easier. And now when challenges happen as a result of God's abilities, not mine, in the miracle of this program, when challenges happen, the thought of my alcoholic food simply does not occur to me. This is simply the most loving thing I can possibly do for myself, this abstinence, and just relaxing and being carried and being allowed myself, mm-hmm. allowing myself to be loved by God and carried. And it's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much. That's Dawn B., and she's from California. And before I take Diane B., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 37 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, the third paragraph down. In some circumstances, we have gone out through one paragraph ending the terrific consequences might be. And after Diane, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and to everyone else who's on the line. Thank you for creating this meeting for me. I'm Diane B. in New York. And one of the things that I highlighted was feeling ourselves justified by nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, or the like. And, you know, I have to add in there that, you know, I was also so resentful that I would want to get back at people. So I would eat. And getting back at them really didn't do anything to them by my eating. It really just hurt myself. And I have also written here in the column, I'll never have this again, so I'm going to eat it now. And I remember like feeling like, okay, I'm going to start my diet on Monday, so I'm just going to eat all I want this weekend. Or even after coming into program, I would have these feelings of, okay, I have to give this up now, so I'm going to eat all I can now before I have to give it up. Whenever, right? That just doesn't work. And, you know, they say that when we eat, it's like we want to poison the other person, but we end up poisoning ourselves. And that's really what happens. And I have to say that I am meeting with a new nutritionist tomorrow, and I made the appointment on Friday. The chatter in my head all week has just been crazy. You know, it's those witches, the three witches, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Another friend of mine calls it the monkeys chattering in my head. And it's like, it's all this old behavior. But, you know, thankfully I have higher power today. And I rely on that. I rely on my higher power, because otherwise I would be just face down into the food 24/7 until tomorrow. So, you know, the consequences of my eating for some, you know, because I'm angry or because I'm feeling deprived or hurt or whatever, or bored, it doesn't really matter, because the consequences are going to be the same. And but thankfully with this program, I don't have to do that anymore. And I really appreciate everybody's service. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you very much. That is Diane D. from New York. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Donna W.
Donna B. W.
Julie
you
B.
Got Donna W. And then it was something B.
Donna B.
Donna B. Got you, Donna. Donna B. You. And then Julie. I got you, Julie.
Whitney J. Courtney.
Oh, Courtney. I changed your name.
Yes, she did. In North Carolina.
Courtney J. Okay, North Carolina. So I have Donna W., Donna B., Julie E. B., Courtney J. I hear anyone else? I don't. All right. So we will begin. Everybody mute except Donna W. from California. Good morning, Donna.
Thank you, Mo. This is Donna W. in California. Grateful for my abstinence and for my recovery today. And I just want to say how much I love this program because I get to grow up here. You know, the great thing about being recovered is I get to feel all my feelings today. The awful things about being recovered is I get to feel all my feelings today. And, you know, most of my life, the food was the solution. I was happy, I would eat. I was sad, I was eat. Depressed, eat. Food was always the solution. And so I stunted my emotional growth. And so now I get to, feel my feelings. I get to live life on life's terms. I get to do my 10 steps. I get to work the steps. And just deal with it, you know, and realize like I'm not terminally unique and I get to deal with things that other people are dealing with. I get to learn how other people are dealing with hard things in the room and I get to show up in my life. So I just want to say how grateful I am for all of you, for the 12 steps and the big book, because it really is a manual for living. And the fact that I'm on this journey of learning and growing for the rest of my life. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you. That's Donna W. She's from California. Up next is Donna B. And you are from where? Colorado?
Yep, Colorado. This is Donna B, spelled D-A-N-A. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor in Denver, Colorado. And one of the things that I'd like to share, sort of leveraging off of a theme that I've heard, you know, people have talked a lot about the opportunity to feel as a result of working the steps and having a relationship with a higher power and living in abstinence. And there have been a couple miracles in my program recently, which are the step beyond the feeling, which is where God guides me to take action. I have had a long-standing historic resentment towards my mom, which has created many, many, many feelings. And one of the boundaries that I've set with her is that she cannot come to my house without having a previously set appointment. So no just drop-bys, swing-bys. And she came on Mother's Day. She did a swing by. And I was very upset and had a story about how she was violating my boundaries. And I did all the things, the praying, the writing, the sharing, the considering, you know, all of the things. And ultimately, I sent a text message that said, I just want to remind you of this boundary. I was upset that you came on Sunday. Please remember that this boundary exists. And she responded in a very reasonable way, which is new for me. But as I went through sort of the fears that I've historically had around my mom, I realized that none of those fears were true anymore. I just don't hold on to those fears. They've been lifted as a result of working the steps. And as I wrap up, I want to say, you know, in addition to justifying eating specific foods, I have to be equally conscious of the justification of the thoughts I feed myself. What am I exposing myself to? And by the grace of God, I've been introduced to a new program that is miraculously lifting my obsession with feeding myself the news. And it's been transformational. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Donna B. from Colorado. Up next is Julie E. B., followed by Courtney J. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This paragraph was very life-changing for me because of the word justified. It's a very interesting thing because it says, you know, sometimes we might be justified. That is that we've had nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, the like, you know. I don't know for myself or someone else, you know, if I need this food or not. I know it usually makes my problem worse, but sometimes we feel justified. And then I looked up and there was this other definition of justified, and it came from typesetting. And some of you had justified borders if you used early versions of Word. Now almost all documents line everything up on the side. And what justified is it fits all the words, all the letters into that line. And in early days, it would stretch some words way out so the right column was even, then it would stretch words way out so the left column was even, or it would scrunch words up, you know, when the computers weren't. And so justified is me getting it all within the lines, you know. I've got these excuses that I think keep it under control. But there's this amazing, amazing God language word justified, which means to be made right by my higher power, be made right by my higher power. So this program gives me this incredible opportunity, instead of all these feelings, which are legit and devastating, and I have no idea what's best for someone else or myself, or this thinking in my head, I call the brainstorm, spinning and spinning around, trying to make life fit into the lines I want it to fit into, or being made right myself by my higher power, who says I have intrinsic worth and value, and I have a way to be helpful in the world with my higher power as my employer. Stay close to God and do that work well. So this is a powerful paragraph for me, and thanks for letting me share. Julie E.B., Colorado.
Thank you very much. As you said, Julie E.B. from Colorado. Before I take Courtney, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 37, and more about alcoholism, the third paragraph, beginning with, in some circumstances, we have gone out through one paragraph ending, the terrific consequences might be. And after Courtney, I can take probably two or three more names. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and thank you for this meeting. Always grateful for the Vision for You meeting, how this book has come alive for me and given me a design for living. Again, Courtney here in North Carolina. So just kind of line by line, I want to say in all circumstances, I've gone out deliberately. I mean, I basically have no business going into a store. I do okay now, but, you know, way back when, I should have brought all of you with me. And, you know, people said, bring your phone with you and talk to somebody while you're at the store. Because you know how we are. We go by that aisle that we shouldn't go by. And, you know, just this one time, I'll get this. And then, you know, five aisles down, you're putting it back up on the shelf. And then only to get something at the checkout. Anyway, so, I mean, I'm saying my binges were all like, I'm going to the store. I'm going after work. I'm going into the office where there's a bowl of this, that, or the other. Or if there's not, or if I eat some of that and now I need more, I'm going to go in the cabinets of all my workers, you know, see what they have in their drawers and whatnot. And then only to get to the store to have to pay all that stuff back that night before I go home. Got to go back, got to go to the store, get all that stuff, and pay those drawers and cabinets back. Let's see. I'm seeing, feeling ourselves justified by all these different emotions. Okay, I didn't have emotions. I didn't know what I was thinking. I didn't know what I was feeling. I was feeling either fat or skinny. And when I learned that, you know, fat is not an emotion, you know, when I said to my first sponsor, for a serious sponsor, I mean, she really told me a lot about program and introduced me to this meeting. She said, Courtney, fat is not a feeling. I said, oh, okay. I'm thinking about, We now see that when we began to drink deliberately instead of casually, yeah, I mean, there were so many times that the lie in my voice, in my head, which is that I can eat like a normal person, was okay to go out to dinner, to get the dessert, to share the dessert, you know, only to go to the 7-Eleven afterwards, after we were all done, and get more and more and more. And all this paragraph ends up with what the terrific consequences might be. Well, the terrific consequence for me was living the lie for about 20 years once I learned that I had no right to eat sugar, wheat, or flour, that those were my allergies, but continued to try to do so. And I tell you what, it brought me to being the walking dead. It brought me to having the little dot as the heart in my soul. It was just crushed. Just bury me alive is what I was doing. I was burying myself alive with basically, you know, one very sugary item, but bags and boxes of the sweets, and knowing what my truth was. And that is what kills you. That's when you have no soul left, no spirit left, and that's when I finally, God graced me with the desire and the ability to stop eating those foods. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much. It's Courtney J. in North Carolina. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? I can take about three more names.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Mary Frances W.
Mary Frances W. One more. Now's your opportunity.
Annie M.
Annie M. All right, that's it. Annie M. All right, I have Janice K., Mary Frances W., and Annie M. Everyone mute except Janice K. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Mo. This is Janice K. in Oregon. There are a couple of words and phrases that are just zinging me today. One of them is justified. And justification is related in some way to the word justice or just. And it's whatever process I use to stay in the lines, as has been said, of what is acceptable. Justification defines my boundaries. And when I was okay, and then the other phrase are the terrific consequences. Wow. The terrific consequences for me are the life of darkness that I used to live. And I heard in these rooms a phrase that really, I thought, described it well. And it was, the dark void descended. Boy, I know what it's like when the dark void descends. And I know what it's like to live a life of light, and maybe not, you know, I don't want to say joy, because it's not a perpetual dance in the daisy fields by any means. But there is a deep peace that comes when food no longer holds the reins. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of really good things. I would really rather live that life of light and of serenity and peace, and stay away from the dark void that can descend so devastatingly. And that's what I see in this paragraph. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Janice K. from Oregon. Up next is Mary Frances W. And if we have time, Annie M. Good morning, Mary Frances. Mary Frances, press star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me, Mo?
I can now. Thank you.
Okay. I'm in my car. I hope you can hear me. This is Mary Frances W, recovered in Pennsylvania, and I wanted to claim my seat. I am so happy to hear all the shares this morning. I wanted to come on and just say how grateful I am. Today, I'm blessed to be 180 days abstinent, and I'm only 180 days abstinent today because of the grace of God, because of the people in this room that have helped and supported me these 180 days, because I've been willing to admit that I'm a real compulsive overeater. And in doing that, the most crucial thing for me these past 6 months has been able to admit that I'm a real food addict, and also the honesty that comes along with that. You know, I hear someone on this meeting share, you know, this chapter is more about lying, more about cheating, more about stealing, more about, and for me, the honesty is a critical piece, because I was always more about pleasing. I wanted to be who you wanted me to be, and I did that my entire life. And this is now more about pleasing God and doing what God wants me to do and be who God wants me to be. And doing that, you know, sometimes it's hard, but, you know, He's blessed me with this gift. And I'm neutral around food, and I don't have to be afraid. I'm heading right now to an event. There's going to be a house full of people and a smorgasbord of food, and I have my food with me, and I'm going to be A-okay because God is good and He's blessing me. And I just, you know, I can't say enough about the big book, about Bill W., and about all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Frances W. in Pennsylvania. And I can give you 2 minutes, Annie M. Good morning, Annie M. Can't hear you.
Oh, sorry, here I am. Annie M., compulsive eater. Thank you, Mo. This is my first time at this meeting, and I'm grateful to have found it. 9 years in program. And my higher power is always leading me to something new, and I'm grateful. This paragraph is so powerful for me. Looking at feeling ourselves justified, and then our justification for a spree was insanely insufficient in the light of what always happened. For me, the justification was, I deserve this. I deserve this. And I didn't want to feel what I was feeling, but what I was feeling made me say, well, I deserve to eat this. Hard day at work, I deserve this. Friend was, you know, mad at me, I deserve this. And then the end of the paragraph where I didn't think about what the consequence would be. I knew what the consequence would be. I would feel terrible. I would put myself down. I would you know that I would just feel awful after eating. But I didn't think about that in the moment when I thought I deserved to eat. And often I just went into kind of a trance state. The food went in. I would look around and realize, oh, I don't even remember deciding to do that. I don't remember what I chose. I don't remember even what I ate sometimes. But I looked around and I saw the aftermath. And I'm just so grateful for a program that has helped me learn to think before anything around food, and help me to feel instead of choosing food. I'm grateful for this chance to share, and grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Annie, where are you calling from?
Oh, thank you. I am in the Seattle area in Washington State.
Washington State. Well, welcome, Annie M. from Washington State. And thank you all for your great shares, this great meeting. Oh, powerful for me. All right, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is sick, who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.